Mark chapter 16, one more time. And somebody asked me if we was going to make 100 lessons. I don't think we'll make 100. I'm not going to try to on purpose, but we're not completely done yet. Last week I didn't really deal with the verses that we read. Tonight we're going to try to deal with the verses. And so we're going to read Mark chapter 16 and verse number 9. Down through verse number 15, Mark chapter 16 and verses 9 through 15. And this is a 92nd lesson that we've been in the book of Mark. And we'll give this a title of the Great Commission. That's what we're going to end up with tonight. But just starting in verse number 9, the Bible said, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with them as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so last week we took a little detour and we dealt with the subject of unbelief and said some different things about the Bible version and the Bible versions, different ones out there, the controversy that continually surrounds that. But like I said, I didn't actually say very much about the verses. And so tonight we're going to look at these verses and point some things out. When we dealt with verses 1 down through verse number 8, you may remember, and it's been 2 weeks ago at least now, but you may remember that we had an empty tomb, but one of the last things I said is that nobody had seen him yet. And so we had an empty tomb, but no body, the body of the Lord Jesus. Nobody has seen him. Nobody knows at this point where the Lord Jesus is. Now, up to verse number 8, no actual sighting of the risen Savior. Now, if I was the devil, that'd be a good place to end it. It's no accident that verses 9 down through the end of the chapter are attacked the way that they are. If you could just end it with an empty tomb, but no body and nobody ever seen the Lord, then it would all just be rumor. It would all just be speculation. It would all just be they said, she said, he said, but see, up to that point, nobody has actually seen the Lord. If you look in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 28, and we are going to turn just a few places tonight, and this is interesting over in Matthew chapter number 28. If you end the book of Mark at verse number 8, well, you could just pay the soldiers off and tell them to make up a story. And that is exactly what they tried to do. Matthew chapter number 28. And the soldiers, you remember that Pilate had said, go to the tomb, set a watch, make it as sure as you can. And the Roman soldiers went out there and they were to guard the tomb because the Pharisees came back. And they understood that Jesus had said that after 3 days he would rise again. But the disciples didn't understand that or didn't believe it enough to go and look and to expect the Lord to come forth from the grave. But the soldiers were out there, and Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 11, we'll pick up there and read down through verse number 15. But in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 11, it says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city." That's some of the soldiers that had been sent out to guard the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. So some of them came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. So they paid them off. They gave them money. They gave them a bribe, saying, verse number 13, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, there's several reasons why, even if you lived in those days, that would be hard to believe. And one reason would be, well, we're talking about Roman soldiers, trained warriors, trained fighters. They have a job to do. They're sent out. Now, if they would fall asleep on the job, it would be their life. They would never confess to falling asleep on the job. But that's what they told them to do. They told them, the disciples came and stole him away while we slept. Not to mention the disciples are a bunch of chickens. I mean, they've already proved that. They all forsook him and fled and they ran away. So we're supposed to believe, if we were listening to the Roman soldiers, that the disciples who were scared in the garden and all ran away, that they came and somehow snuck in there and rolled the stone away and stole the body of the... What are they going to do with the body? Why would they risk their body? Or why would they risk their lives for a dead body? Their hope, their only hope is in the resurrection. And so they come up with this story. What are we going to say? What are we going to say happened? And so they come up with this story and they paid them large, gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they said, don't worry about it, fellas. We've got your back. We'll not let them put you to death because you lost your dead prisoner or anything like that. We're gonna get your back on this. We're gonna cover for you. And so verse 15 says, so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And I've even heard and read that, and it says until this day, but it's still being rumored at this day. What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ? The disciples came and stole him away. Some rumors you just can't get rid of. And so they still sometimes say that about the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, if nobody had ever seen the risen Lord, that would be maybe. Maybe that's what happened to him. Maybe they stole it away and they took and they hid the body of the Lord Jesus. Why would they ever want to do that? Then why would they go out and preach a risen Lord and risk their lives and be persecuted and put in prison their own selves? Why would they do that? That makes no sense whatsoever. But that's what they did at the time. They paid the soldiers off and they made up a story. Well, if no one ever saw the Lord Jesus again, that would be a good story. That'd be a good way to cover it up. But the book of Mark does not end there. Thank the Lord. It doesn't end in verse number 8. And Matthew doesn't end that way. And Luke does not end that way. And John does not end that way. Now, Mark is a summary. And we pointed this out several times before. Mark is short and sweet. But something Mark does here for us, Mark gives a chronological order. This is how it happened. Number one, next, and next, and next. And so you notice that if you look in verse number 9, talking about Mark giving the chronological order of the resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9 says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And so up to verse number 9, nobody's seen him yet. But in verse number 9, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And so she is the first person to see the Lord alive. Then after that, look at verse number 12. There is an after that. So first, Mary Magdalene. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them. And then if you look down at verse number 14, it said, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. So Mark gives a chronological order, and we're going to go through that tonight. Mark records for us three post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he appeared to Mary. And we're going to say some things about this appearance to Mary, beginning in verse number 9 and verse number 10. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Now, keep your place here and look over in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 gives us a lot more detail about when the Lord Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. And we're going to read some verses over there, and I'm not going to go through and say a whole lot about them, but I just want to read these verses and sort of get it in our mind, the appearance to Mary Magdalene. And this is a very beautiful passage of Scripture. John chapter 20 and verse number 11. The Bible said, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, there's some things about this passage of Scripture that I'm just not clear on. Not that I don't believe it, I believe all of it, but I'm not clear about how these events actually took place. I'm sure that if you had saw that in real life, you'd say, well, that makes perfect sense. But what I mean, there's some things that I'm not clear on. For example, Mary Magdalene is mentioned in chapter 16, verse 1, that she came to the tomb. 16:1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, and they all came with spices to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus. And the stone was rolled away, and the angel spoke to them. And the Bible said in verse number 8, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. And so Mary Magdalene was there, and then the Bible says about the women that they fled from the sepulchre. Now, did she linger? You know, maybe they all ran away, and maybe she ran a little ways away and then came back. The Bible doesn't say. Did she linger? Did she start? Did she go away? And then did she come back a little bit later on? I'm not exactly sure. And I don't think the Bible's clear on that. It doesn't hurt anything, but I don't know exactly how it took place. But Mary was there. The other women has gone away, and now we find Mary is there by herself. She gets the courage to come back near the tomb, and we find that she looks into the tomb, and she sees two angels there, and then she turns away. At first, she does not recognize the Lord. That's what it says in John chapter 20 and verse number 15. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener. So when she first meets the Lord Jesus, she doesn't recognize him as being the Lord Jesus, but she thinks this must be the gardener. And she says to him, if you've taken him away, if you tell me where thou hast taken him, where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And so at first she doesn't recognize the Lord. Now, I don't have a problem with that. There's several reasons why at first she would not have recognized the Lord Jesus. For one thing, we do know according to the Bible that it was very early in the morning. So there's no street lights out there. There's no artificial lighting of any kind. And you just got what light the sun is providing. It's very early. It's what the Bible says. They came very early in the morning. Another reason why I think she didn't recognize the Lord right off the bat is because she didn't go there expecting to meet the Lord. She didn't go there thinking that she was going to actually talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. She and the other ladies went there fully expecting to find the Lord Jesus in the tomb and to anoint His dead body with those spices. That's what they were expecting. Have you ever been expecting something and then it's not how you were expecting and it's hard to believe that that's the way it is? You know where they changed the road where you go behind the post office? Back in there is where I get my hair cut. And they've been working on that road for, I don't know, all summer long, seems like. And the first time I came down through there and turned up that road after they'd opened it back up, it just sort of blowed my mind. Because I'm used to that road being a certain way. You go down and, I mean, it's always congested right there. But they changed the whole thing. And so I went down through there and actually turned in there and went back through there and it just... I just sort of had to think to myself, how was that? I wasn't expecting that to be like that. It was so different than I'm used to. And so when something like that happens to us, she was going expecting to find the Lord Jesus dead. She wasn't expecting Him to be there and talk to her. So you can see how that would sort of overload your senses. She supposed Him to be the gardener. Here's something else to think about. Have you ever met someone who had a drastic change in their health? Usually it goes like this. You know somebody, you might be friends, you might work with them, maybe you went to school with them, and you know they are the what we might say, the perfect picture of health. But then something happens to them and they get really, really sick. And you see them and they've lost weight and their skin is all drawn in on themselves and they're pale and they have no color and they look like, you know, they've aged 20 or 30 years and you go away and you're just amazed how badly they look. And I've said myself about people, and you have too, I didn't even recognize them. Didn't even recognize them. They didn't even look like themselves. They've gotten so bad off. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, it was totally the opposite. The last time, and we studied about this, the ladies were the last at the cross. They were the first at the tomb. Being the last at the cross, they saw and witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And the last time they saw them, He didn't even look like a person. That's what the Bible says. His visage was so marred, more than any man. He would have literally, after hanging there all day long upon the cross, all the loss of blood, all the lacerations, the spear in the side, the crown of thorns on the head. Can you imagine that what a gruesome, horrible sight that they saw. And they saw Joseph and Nicodemus come take His body down and begin to prepare it for the burial. That's the last they ever saw of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now she meets somebody in the garden. And He's not talking like a person that's just been crucified. And there stands somebody before her in perfect body, perfect health, perfect speech, perfect facial. You know, that can you imagine how She supposed him to be the gardener. She sure didn't think it was the Lord Jesus. And I really like this. She didn't recognize him until he spoke her name. And when he spoke her name, when he said Mary, she knew exactly who it was. And she said, Rabboni, which is to say master, teacher. She recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what a shock that was, that would have been to her. No wonder she, supposing him to be the gardener. But when he spoke her name, she knew exactly who it was. And when the Lord Jesus speaks to our heart, speaks our name, we recognize his voice. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. And so he spoke to her. And when he spoke to her, she recognized him. And then back in Mark chapter 16 and verses 10 and 11, then after she saw the risen Lord, she went and she did what he had told her to do. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 10. It said, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Now, that gives you a little bit of insight into the disciples. Were they at this point expecting to see the risen Lord? Nope. They hadn't even bothered to go down to the tomb. And Mary goes and tells them as they mourned and wept. They're still grieving. Their lives have been turned upside down. And verse number 11 says, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. So Mary went. Now here's the first eyewitness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she goes, and they all know each other. This is not some stranger that comes in. It's Mary Magdalene. She's been around a while. They all know one another. But they, the Bible says, they believe not. But that's the first appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second of all, it talks about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, we're going to read out of Luke chapter number 24 because I just love that passage of Scripture and it'll bless your heart. But let's read here in Mark, first of all, Mark 16 and verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Look over in the book of Luke. And let's read a few verses over there. Luke chapter number 24. And if there's ever a passage of Scripture that'll bless your heart, this blesses my heart. I love to read about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13, we'll start reading there. And I'm not going to comment a whole lot as we go down through here. But I just want to read. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I love that picture. They're just walking along. And here comes another gentleman down the road. And he just sort of walks up and starts going down the road with them. And verse 16 said, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And I've got that underlined in my Bible. A lot of times we walk along and we're sad when we don't have any reason to be. And it said in verse 18, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, and found it even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And I love to read that. And I think to myself, I'd love to hear that message one of these days that the Lord Jesus preached to them fellas as they walked down the road. And he expounded unto them all the things that the prophets had said concerning himself. You talk about an expository message. To hear the Lord Jesus talk about Isaiah 53, talk about Psalms chapter number 22, and point them fellows. But here's the thing, they heard a great message, but they still didn't see him until he broke the bread. And the Lord's got to break the bread. You can hear good messages and good preaching and say, boy, that was good. But until the Lord comes and breaks the bread among us, it'll just be another message. But they said, Did not our heart burn within us? I like that. That's divine heartburn that the Lord gave to them. And, bad news spreads fast. It's amazing sometimes how fast bad news spreads. But good news spreads too. And if you notice here in Luke chapter number 24, that's what's starting to happen. The good news is starting to spread. They run all the way back and they find the 11 disciples gathered together there. And so up to that point, they told the Lord Jesus that the women had went but hadn't seen his body. And that one of the disciples, talking about Peter, that he had went and he saw the empty tomb but he hadn't seen the body. And now they go back and they say, Hey, guess what? We seen him. And they said, You know what? Peter saw him too. And so now Mary's seen him. Peter's seen him. The two disciples have seen him. And the Lord Jesus all throughout the day. And this that we're reading about comes down to that very evening. So all throughout that day, the Lord, he appeared here. He appeared there. Spent a lot of time just with them two disciples. Probably spent more time with them than Peter, Mary, for sure. But then we come down. The third that we find here in the book of Mark is that he appeared to the disciples. And that's what Luke chapter 24 brought us up to, was the two disciples going back. And they said, he appeared to Peter as well. But in verse number 14 in the book of Mark, the Lord Jesus appears to the disciples, and it says this, Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now, what's that first meeting going to be like? Going to be really, really good? You'd think it would. But the Bible says that he upbraided them. And that's interesting that the disciples, you know, they've heard that he's risen from the dead. They've heard that Mary saw him. They've heard now that Peter saw him. And they've heard that the two disciples, you know, they've just come in the door. We saw him too. We saw him too. What's that first meeting with the disciples going to be like? You'd think, man, they'd have shouted all over the place. But the Bible said he upbraided them. That first meeting was not like you'd think. What it means when the Bible says that he upbraided them, that is a very, very strong language that is used there. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. He upbraided them with their unbelief. He throwed it up to them. Their unbelief. The word upbraided means this. It means to charge with something wrong or disgraceful. It means to bring reproach. It means to reprove with severity. And so what did the Lord Jesus, when he appeared to the disciples? He scolded them. He roasted them. He let them have it. You know, of all the people that should have believed, the disciples should have believed. And they're the last ones that believed. The Lord has been telling them and preaching and teaching to them. And we saw way back in Mark chapter 10, verse 34, where the Lord Jesus prophesied concerning what was going to happen to him. And he said, "And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." Remember when we started in the book of Mark, and it's like everything the Lord did, he said, "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." It wasn't till he started preaching that he would die and rise again the third day that they even had anything to preach. And he started telling them what was going to happen. They should have believed. And this passage of Scripture in Mark, it deals with unbelief, their unbelief. And it's mentioned three times. It's mentioned in verse number 11. When they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. It's mentioned in verse 13. Neither believed they them. It's mentioned in verse number 14. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not. And so it's dealing with unbelief. And the Lord Jesus comes to the disciples and he really lets them have it because of their unbelief. But now here's the blessing of the whole thing. After this, it's never brought up or mentioned again. It's never mentioned again that they did not believe that he was risen from the dead. And I get a blessing out of that. From this point forward, they are believers wholeheartedly. Now, in all of our lives, even in the disciples after this, there were times where they doubted. There were times in the early church where they went through periods of lack of faith. But the Lord only upbraided them one time for their unbelief. What I mean by that, the Lord never holds our old unbelief over us. You know, we doubt sometimes. We doubt the Lord and we say, Kim said a little bit about this in her testimony. She said, "I just can't believe how the Lord worked that out." But she does. You know, we say things like that. But the Lord never holds that over our head. The Lord never comes along and says, "I don't know why I fool with you. It took you 25 or 30 years to even believe that I was your Savior, that I was the Lord." Like I said, that John 3:16. The Lord doesn't hold that over our heads. And I'm glad that He does. And He never brings that up again. He never chides them. He never reproves them or rebukes them again over that period of unbelief. They're believers after this. You can never give to the church the charge that we find in verse number 15 if we're not believers. And it's amazing to me what the Lord gives them right off the bat. First thing, look what the Bible says in verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He was convinced that they were convinced. He doesn't even start them off with baby steps. Now you would think somebody that had just been such great unbelievers, you know, shouldn't they be on trial for a while? Give them a few easy things and see if they can even do that. But the Lord didn't say, now fellas, I want you to be faithful to church for a year. I'd like to see you read the Old Testament through. I'd like for you to say your prayers every day. That's not how the Lord started them off. The Lord started them off with a great big charge. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Unbelief can never do that. Before we can even begin to do what the Bible says in verse number 15, our unbelief must be dealt with, it must be set aside, and we must believe not in our power, but in the Lord's power. It's got to be done in the Lord's power. And they knew that. They recognized that real quick, that they was going to have some power from another world to do what the Lord wanted them to do. Now, it's mentioned in Matthew, it's mentioned in Luke, it's mentioned in John, it's mentioned in the book of Acts. We're not going to deal with this in great detail tonight. I just wanted to get up to verse number 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. What a big charge. What a big responsibility. Just go. And so that's the charge that he leaves with the Lord, with the disciples. And we call that the Great Commission. Why do we call that the Great Commission? Because that is a great commission. He didn't say go into Jerusalem. He said go into all the world. He didn't say preach to just the Jews. He said preach the gospel to every creature. That's a great commission. And so that brings us up to verse number 15. And in order to accomplish that, we must be converted from a state of unbelief to a state of belief in the risen Lord. And we see the disciples go out from here in the book of Acts. We see them go out and venture their lives to do that one thing that's mentioned in verse 15, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so they were cured of their unbelief, were they not? And so what a blessing that is. All right, we're going to stop off there.